Welcome. Let's join best-selling author Fred Kuhn as he interviews our next guest expert.
Welcome, everybody. I have a special guest today. He's been with us before, had some great things to say about transition from the military, and I'm welcoming Colonel Carlos Perez. Carlos is not only a retired colonel, but he also works for the Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association and is the chief operating officer. Carlos, welcome to the program once again.
Thanks, Fred. It's great to be back.
Our subject today for the listener is we're going to talk about financial independence, and we're going to talk about how you get there. And Carlos would like to share some great ideas. So I guess the first question I have is, tell us about your organization. It's the American Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association. Tell us about what that is, what you do, and the history of that.
Sure, Fred. Thank you for asking and for taking the opportunity to learn more about who we are. AFMA, the American Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association, is our nation's longest-standing not-for-profit providing military solutions for our military veterans and their families. You know, just a very brief history about us. We were actually established 139 years ago in 1879 after officials in the War Department saw a need for some kind of an association to take care of soldiers and their dependents in the aftermath of the Battle of Little Bighorn. So if you're a history buff, you know, you can go to our website and learn more about that, but that's how we were born. Because at that time, when a death occurred on the frontier, surviving service members literally conducted a passing of the hat to raise money, and that money would be used to transport dependents back east to the care of their relatives and friends. Well, at the Battle of Little Bighorn, and in the case of the U.S. 7th Cavalry, that system collapsed. There were no survivors, there was no hat to pass, and there was nobody to pass it to. So as a result, the Army Mutual Aid Association was created, whose express purpose was to aid the families of deceased service members in a prompt, simple, and substantial manner. And we still take that very seriously today. Our vision is to ensure the financial security and independence of the members of the armed forces community. And over time, we've grown to include not only Army officers, but all services and all ranks. So that's who we are, and you can learn all about us at AFMA.com.
It's AAFMAA.com, is that right? Or is there more to it? Okay, then you're also
right, yeah,
in the guest biography.
AAFMAA.com.
Right, and in the guest biography, of course, you can reach Carlos there by clicking on his contact information. You mentioned the idea, Carlos, of financial security. I mean, it's always of concern to everyone, regardless of rank, as they exit the military. What are some of the considerations, and what are you advising members to do?
Financial security can be a nebulous concept for some people, so we actually try to go into that in some detail when we speak with our members, and that is the ability to achieve or attain your financial goals and needs. And the way we try to help people understand that is that within the context of a three-legged stool, you know, you need three legs or that stool will collapse. Financial security is the same way. And so for us, the three primary components of being able to achieve that financial independence are budgeting, protecting of your assets, and then thirdly, savings and investing together. And I can touch upon each of those in a little bit.
Good.
If you like, but
yes.
That's the core.
I milk cows at my grandfather's farm on a three-legged stool, so I understand the security of having it instead of two legs.
Yeah, we love that model because everybody understands it, and all legs are important. But, you know, the first one is budgeting. Well, a lot of times, budgeting is a chore for us, right? We just don't like to do it. We think of many excuses not to. I don't need to. I know what I have. But the reality is it's really important. And at its basic level, it's about understanding your income, your expenses, your assets, and your liabilities. But what we tell people is, a lot of times they think that the object is that budget, to create that budget. But that's not really what it's all about. You create a budget because you want to actively control where your money and resources go, and so that you're not spending by happenstance, right? A lot of times we innocently stop by the store and, you know, pick up a cup of coffee or whatever, and I have nothing against coffee. I'm a coffee drinker myself. But we ought to do so knowing what the impact to our budget is, because over time, it can add up to quite a few dollars. So that first leg is budget so that you understand what you have and where it's going and you don't spend by accident. That's probably the most important thing you can do to get started. And in that budget, be sure to include some emergency funds and a portion for yourself for the long-term investment and your long-term goals.
How long a period of time, Carlos, would you recommend people have an emergency fund? What is that? I've heard different number of months.
Sure. You know, there are many rules of thumb. You know, we often say somewhere between the 3 to 6 months of expenses is the sweet spot. And again, I want to point out expenses, not your income. A common mistake with some of our transitioning service members is they think, oh my God, I earn this much a month now. I have to have 3 to 6 times that saved. That's going to be hard to do. We say, no, that's not really it. What are you spending? What is your minimum required expenditure each month? You know, that's what you're looking at is, can you pay your rent? Can you buy your food? Can you put gas in your car? So about 3 to 6 months of expenses is a pretty good rule to follow. Fred, the second leg is this idea of protecting your assets. And this really isn't foreign to us. Most of us, if we have a car, you're required to have car insurance. But there are other things to protect. You may need a homeowner's policy or a renter's policy to protect those physical assets that you have. As you age, somebody in their 50s like myself, you may start considering how you're going to pay for your long-term care. In a service, we all had a great benefit, and that benefit was the Service Members Group Life Insurance, SGLI. And it's fantastic. You can get up to $400,000 of coverage through the DOD, actually through the VA, for a very reasonable premium. What we see a lot of times is that service members approaching retirement lose sight of the fact, or even just transition, lose sight of the fact that they will lose that coverage when they leave. And so we encourage members to shop around, because the reality is that if somebody else depends upon you for income, you probably are a good candidate to replace SGLI with something. A common question that we get is about the Veterans Group Life Insurance, which offers similar coverage amounts. And what we advise our members is that if you are of average health or better, it often pays to shop around and compare other policies, particularly affordable term policies, to VGLI. Because VGLI has a feature that if you apply within a certain time period of exiting the service, they must accept you. There is a risk pool associated with that, because people that opt in for no underwriting policies are often people that have health issues or are uninsurable. On the flip side, if you know you have an uninsurable condition, VGLI might be the only insurance that will cover you, so it might be a good deal. But the bottom line is you have to do a little homework and educate yourself and know your options. If you're staying through retirement, the Survivor Benefit Plan is a great option to consider as well. And that plan, you give up a portion or a percentage of your retired pay as a premium, and in return, when you pass away, your spouse receives a portion of your retirement essentially until their death. So again, lots to think about. We'd be happy to talk to veterans and military transitioning about any of that. If they have questions, they can reach out to me. But that second leg is to protect your assets, protect your life, and in particular, protect those that might depend on you for income.
So Carlos, what is the third leg of that stool?
Yeah, Fred. So the third leg of this stool is saving and investing, and we put those together. And this is all about thinking through those long-term goals and objectives and how we'll get there. And it is achieving that independence through disciplined planning. What we're looking for is a well-diversified portfolio that identifies and aligns three important things: my objective, my time horizon, and the risk associated with getting there. And it's important that all three of these line up, because if you don't have a match, you probably are at risk of achieving that objective. So an example could be that in 20 years, I would like to buy a home. And in order to get there, I have to determine what I need and what instruments would allow me to get there. And so the longer horizon you have, the greater risk you can afford to assume, prudent risk. Now, I mentioned alignment, right? If somebody comes to me and says, well, I don't want to put any money anywhere else other than a savings account, we have a misalignment, because the reality is that that savings vehicle probably will not achieve the rate of return I need to get me to my goal. So we spend a lot of time helping people understand, how do I identify what I need? How really can I look at the amount of time I have to get there or need to get there? And most importantly, what is the risk required to get me there? And how much risk am I willing to assume to get there? And oh, by the way, a home can be part of a portfolio. And so at AFMA, one of the things that we realized, as I mentioned, we are nonprofit and we have two subordinate parts of us that are also nonprofits. One, we have a wealth management and trust company that helps people with these kinds of decisions that they may have to make in financial planning, investment management, and trust services. And we also have a mortgage company which can help people achieve their objectives with regards to a home. And, you know, just like when we're sick, we go to a doctor, or if your car has trouble, you go to a mechanic. It's okay to ask for financial help if you need it, as long as you do a little bit of homework about who is advising you and how their interests lie. So I encourage people to do their homework before they seek advice from anybody and make sure that they're going with a reputable advisor.
Correct. Absolutely correct. I do the same thing on my own personal situation. I was thinking about an ad I saw once that showed the difference starting at 21 years old in a savings program and starting at 45 years old or 40 years old. It's a dramatic difference in the compounding interest of money over time. Well, Carlos, we have spent a wonderful time together again. And I just remind folks that Carlos Perez is the CEO, Chief Operating Officer of the Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association. And you can reach him through the information provided in the guest biography page of our website. Carlos, thank you very, very much for being with us today.
Thanks for joining us. If you wish to speak with Fred, or you want a transcript of this interview, send an email to podcast@stuartcoopercoon.com. See you soon!